Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is how good God is. I'm sitting in the airport. I got my purse. It's right in there. And a man walks up to me. He's like, "What's in your purse? What's that pink thing?" And I pulled it out, and it was my Bible. But this is 5 minutes after I'm questioning my faith. I wept for almost 2 hours, and I understood that I would serve Jesus Christ for the rest of my life.
I'm very fascinated by your celibacy journey.
So it's been 2 years. I don't want to carry anybody's baggage, and I've done it in friendships, and I'm not even having sex with my friends.
Can you take me back to the last time you had sex?
I never had an orgasm before him. And then I was like, oh my God. And this was like, I was 33.
But by yourself?
No, I had never masturbated.
What were you doing this whole time?
Having sex with people I like. From age 19 to 33, I made a list one day. I said, y'all gotta get up off me. These niggas gotta go. I ain't gonna tell you how many names was on there. I had to flip the page. You know the science behind it? The endorphins that go off when you have your orgasm and all the things that are connecting me to this person. I don't wanna be connected to another man that is not my husband.
Are you demisexual?
What is that? Hey, sis.
Hey, what's up? How was your flight?
The flight was so good. It was so quick because I just came from Vegas.
Okay, what do you want to talk about? I have an idea.
What's your idea? Because I'm nervous. Girl, I ain't had sex in 2 years. What we going to talk
about? Well, that's what we're going to talk about.
You believe it's magic.
Can I ask you about your past sex life?
You can ask me anything about sex, girl. Like, you trying to go there? Like, do you do anal? Like, what are you trying to say?
Okay, love it. This is great. So we have a plan now, and I'll see you soon.
Oh, I'm so excited. See you in a minute.
This week's guest is Bea Simone, a multi-hyphenate entertainer best known as a comedian and the host of her hit podcast, Let's Try This Again. You can check out her still standing national tour or find Bea a billion other places like Will Smith's latest album or right here on Lovers. You can learn a lot from watching two people organically communicate and share their feelings and like laugh and be surprised. So you can still learn.
Yes. But I think that's your superpower, though.
Oh, thank you.
The way you interview, the way you communicate, and your boldness in your opinion. Like certain things, I'm like, just with the internet and all my things, I'm pretty bold, but I'm like, do I believe that? I see duality so much. It's hard for me to be black and white and stand on like what I say.
Yeah. Because
people, I don't want to say people could sway me, but I'll be like, oh, okay, I guess I do see that. You'd be like, no. Like I said what I said, and I believe that. Like I'm open to what you have to say, but I love how you stand in your opinion. That's power to me.
Wow.
That's great.
Because you know what my opinion is?
What?
I don't think God cares. I don't think God cares if you have sex or not.
Mm. Okay, why?
Let's get there.
Okay, okay. Because I'm about to go
but
there.
But first, like, let me tell you even why saying that feels... Like, my outfit, you know how many times I changed for today? Because I have to think, and this is also a part of the pairing that unfortunately happens with religion, is that when you talk about religion, you're signing yourself up for judgment and extra scrutiny.
100%.
Extra eyeballs, extra just like overanalyzation of every choice that you make, which in turn makes me overanalyze every choice that I make. So I first chose this like yellow summer dress, and I was like, this is sort of like demure.
Where am I going?
And then I was like, I don't dress like this. And then I chose this like really like armored thing that looked just like, am I going to battle or am I going to a ball? And then I chose this, which I looked at it and I was like, I look like I'm about to perform on Righteous Gemstones.
I love your outfit.
And I love that you're wearing all black.
Girl,
I love that your outfit is, because we could easily have swapped.
Right?
Right, except for the Jesus chain, which is very you. Can you tell me about your relationship with God?
Even that question, you're so beautiful. And the way you look at me with them eyes, I'm like, I'm gonna cry. Why am I about to cry? They did this on purpose now. I'm looking at nature, I'm looking at trees. She's talking about meditation. I'm already about to cry. God is so beautiful. He saved my life. my dad's a pastor, and I always grew up with religion. So when you said religion, I was always in a religion mindset, just religion. You pray before you eat, you don't have sex, you don't do drugs, you don't kill, you don't steal. All these rules and regulations, which is fine. We're human. I feel like we need boundaries, or else we would just be all over the place. Like, there has to be some type of foundation of what are you referring to? What is the blueprint? What are we following? You know, so religion. But when I found relationship with my creator, my life changed. And it was an encounter with God, encounter with Jesus. And I asked all the questions, man. I had a breakdown. I was like, why do I believe what I believe? Why am I Christian? Why am I not Buddhist? Why am I not atheist? Why am I not, I'm not worshiping the universe and all these things? Why am I praying to Jesus? And the answer wasn't good enough for me. It was because this is how I was raised.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I started seeking Christ for myself. And oh my God, he's such a good God. I found him quickly. Rapidly. He was waiting for me the whole time. He's like, I haven't moved. I've been right here. Jeremiah 29:13, if we want to go biblical, and I don't know all the verses, y'all. I'm not there. I'm constantly growing in my spirituality, but it's the verse that was my anchor that I held on to. Seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. God is a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do anything. So I had to seek him for myself. And when I did, he showed me exactly who he was. I wept for almost 2 hours, and I understood that I would serve Jesus Christ for the rest of my life. I wish I would have prayed before we started this episode. Do you mind if I do that?
I would love that.
He's so pretty. God, I thank you for this day, Jesus. I just thank you for bringing us together for Shan's platform, God. I thank you for our voice. Continue to speak through me, speak through her, and let somebody on the other side of this camera and this mic just be touched and moved to seek your face, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to be here on her platform, and I thank you for what you're going to do through us in this episode. In Jesus' name, we ask and thank you. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So where?
That was a first. That was a first for me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the relationship. Just thanking God for, I came from a, I'm sitting with Will Smith in Vegas. I'm on his album. Shout out to Will. But I'm just in the car, like, gratitude. Thank you, God. I don't know what's next. I'm in this moment. Thank you, Jesus. Let me be a vessel wherever you take. I'm praying. But like I said, he's the perfect gentleman. So he's not going to force us to do anything. It's the gift of free will. You can dwell with me or you can dwell without me. I love you so much that I'm going to let you choose.
But wouldn't it be just great just to, like, light up the sky one day and be like, I'm here. Just the national broadcast. It's me. It's real. Like, wouldn't that be? No.
You know why? And I can only say that now because of my experience, because of my encounter, and because of how, if he would have did that, it wouldn't have been the same. It's just like giving it. It's like a kid giving it. You got to show. You got to let them learn. You got to let them see. You got to let. I already said it. I already showed you. You're a mom. So you know how to look at. Look at your relationship with God like we're his children with your kids. You don't just, I'm going to let her figure that out on her own because she needs a little more faith. She needs a little more belief. She needs a little more confidence. I can tell you
as a mom, that's not my relationship.
Really? Maybe it's because they're so young.
Yeah, right.
When they're 15, 16, I don't know. I'm a mom. I don't know. Let me not even say that. I'm not
stop.
A mom.
Yeah. Don't. Yeah. Quit it. Yeah. You see me? Yeah. Look at my face.
But there's some things they got to learn on their own, and it makes the experience so much more better instead of handing it to them. My experience and my encounter with the Holy Spirit would have never been the same. The day I had that encounter, which is the whole story I told on my podcast, but I kind of bucked up on God. I was frustrated. I was tired of seeing my friend's faith, my dad's faith, my grandmother's faith. They believed that they believed that they believed that they knew that they knew that they knew. I was like, I don't know that I know that I know.
Yeah.
That I'm not Buddhist. Like, I don't know that I know. I don't have that anchor and that faith that I was envious of, that when I saw other people walking in it. And I bucked up on God that day, girl. I will never forget it. I was like, nigga. I talked to him. I was like, in the room, I was crying. I was like, Jesus Christ, I am. And I said the word shit. I said, I am sick of this shit. I am sick of not knowing if I'm anchored in this faith. I'm sick of not knowing if you're real, not knowing if I believe this. If you are real, you have to show me who you are today. I'm not waiting another day. And he showed me. Mm. And that's how much he loves us. He'll show you, he'll give you the signs, but you have to seek and yearn for him for yourself. And I believe that.
I think I feel how you feel, have felt, but rather than feeling envy, I just feel like fascination and gratitude. It's like a friend who tells me they love yoga and I'm like, don't do it for me. But I love, your body looks great.
You're very limber.
I love that for you. Mm. And I believe in you. Mm. Like I believe in the light in your eyes. I believe in the conviction that you have, that you definitely have found this deep, meaningful relationship with the spiritual that drives you in such a unique way and that powers your gifts.
Yeah.
I believe in that. I just don't have an experience that leads me to believe that that comes from a conscious mind. I mean, not that I believe everything comes from every, we're obviously a product of something.
Yeah.
In many ways, like I am a universe in itself to billions and billions of bugs and bacteria, right? And they could and should worship me because without me, they wouldn't be alive.
They would die, right?
But I'm also, if they came to me one day and they were like, Shan, like, I don't eat pork, I don't eat shrimp, I don't have any tattoos, have not had sex or masturbated, like, what do you got for me? I'd be like, I didn't notice. I'm not consciously aware of like that connection. So I believe in a creator. I just don't know if I have, I personally don't have evidence in a conscious creator, but I do have evidence in the light I see in my friend's eyes. A friend of mine, Elaine Welteroth, has such a beautiful relationship with God and I love it for her. And I'm curious about that for her because I also see how she sees miracles. Like she has, it's almost like having a different set of eyes.
Yeah. Oh my God. Spiritual eyes. Have you ever seeked that moment? Have you ever sat down and tried to seek whether it was Buddhism or Muhammad or Jesus? Have you ever sat down and tried to seek for yourself, or are you just like, oh, I'll figure it out? You kind of go in with the flow?
No, I've definitely gone through aggressive seeking phases.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting too, because Jared also went through like a very, he went through a more extreme relationship with God. And then I think as an adult too, I've sought it out in different ways. But both of us have kind of come to a sense of acceptance that there is a greater creator. But I just feel like his acceptance is seeped more in just a deep knowingness and mine's just a big question mark. But there's obviously something very uniquely different about knowing that God by face or by essence or by name. So I think that that's a really beautiful experience that I'm like proud to see people on. And I'm curious about the relationship between God, because obviously growing up in the Catholic Church, I'm aware of what the Bible says about sex before marriage, but I'm very fascinated by your celibacy journey.
And this ain't the longest. This ain't the longest I've been celibate. But I will say, I'm gonna be very clear and very honest. I'm not celibate because of my relationship with Christ. Let me make that very clear. I'm celibate right now because I have no candidates and nobody's tempting me. I can't say that if I started dating somebody and fell in love with them and actually liked them, that I wouldn't possibly break my celibacy. So I'm not going to sit here and be like, I'm celibate and I'm saving myself for marriage. I have not made that promise to God yet.
Oh, okay.
That's not why I'm celibate. I would love to get to that point, but I'm not going to lie. I would, if I liked a nigga right now, I would probably have sex with him.
Okay. Tell me about this. Take me here.
And I don't think that's right. If that makes sense, if we're going to be honest, I do not believe in premarital sex based on what I believe, but I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. So I have to be honest with that. I can't sit here and preach a lie. I can't do that. It's like saying, okay, I don't believe in getting drunk, but you still drink. Say you still have a drink. I'm not there yet. I've been sober for 2 years also. I don't think I'll ever drink again. God convicted me of that, definitely convicted me of that. But I'm celibate because I'm not dating and I'm not tempted right now. I don't know what I would do if I was tempted. But yeah, I have a lot of past sex partners and I was, girl, enjoying sex. I enjoy sex. I still enjoy sex. But like I said, I don't know what I would do. If there's a guy that I like, I'm not making that promise that I'm not having sex before marriage. So any guys out there?
I have this a million.
Are there that follow you?
No.
Oh, I'm like, DM me. Anybody that want to be husband
and love
the Lord.
First of all, there is a million. There is a million out there.
That
want to
be husband and love the Lord, want some kids, want a little crazy girl on your side. Yeah, holler at me.
Connect this for me. Does this not, it doesn't connect for me, but that's because I'm thinking in a religious rule mindset. Can you help me connect it?
Okay, what's your question?
How can you be a devout believer and believe that sex before marriage is not God's will.
Yep.
And then be not, and be actively doing what God wants.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And not feel like glorious conviction from that, but instead like lukewarmness about it.
I think that in my past, before my relationship with Christ, I didn't have conviction about sex. Now I would. I would be convicted. But what I'm saying, I'm not saying it's right. And I said that before. I just don't know. I haven't dated anybody as the woman I am today. Mm-hmm. I gave my life, rededicated my life to Christ 3 years ago. So I haven't been tempted. I haven't been in a position. I haven't laid in the bed with the man I was dating and been like, it's definitely going to be a thought. I'm definitely going to have conversations with him. What do you think about celibacy? What do you think about? These are conversations I've never had with a man ever. And I'm 35 years old. But the woman I am today, it will definitely be a thought. It will definitely be a conversation. But what I'm saying is I'm human and I'm not excusing it. I'm not excusing it, but you can try to do things all day. God knows your heart.
Can you take me back to the last time you had sex?
Oh my God, it was so stupid. I shouldn't have did it with that guy. It was so dumb. Okay, we're gonna get into it. I had never had an orgasm. Until like I'll be 35 April 5th.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy 2nd. Birthday.
Really?
Oh my gosh, I don't want to talk about how old I'm going to be. But 35 is a beautiful age.
How old are you going to be?
40.
No.
I know.
Stop.
Right? Yeah. I say the same thing for you at 35. That's crazy, wow. Right? Yeah.
Oh, you look great.
You look
You're
great.
You're vibrant.
Right?
You're sweet girl. We have a million more lives to live.
Right, exactly. With the grace of God.
But you better believe it. You better say it until you believe it. With the grace of God. Hey! Hallelujah! Woo! I'm going to be praying, all right? I'm going to be praying for you, girl. I'm going to put you on my prayer board now. You're going to call me in a couple months like, hold on now. Jesus might be real. Yeah, I got you. Okay. What were we saying?
Sex? Okay, you're about to have... The last time you had sex, it was someone that you shouldn't have had. Your birthday's coming up.
I never had
why
an orgasm.
Why did this link? Okay, that's why.
This is where we're going. So I'm going to be honest. I never had an orgasm before him, and it was through oral sex.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh my God. And this was like, I was 31. Yeah. This was like 32. So I had to be in my, I never had an orgasm. And then I was.
But by yourself?
No.
What?
No, I had never masturbated.
I know. You never masturbated?
Now I have, but I don't masturbate either.
Until 33?
Until 33.
What were you doing this whole time?
Having sex with people I liked, and I thought that was enough. And I was like, I like him. And I didn't know what I was missing. It was just more intimacy for me.
And you never felt drawn when you were a kid to explore?
No.
Is that because of religion?
Probably. Probably fear. Like, I remember my first kiss, and I was so scared. I was like, oh my God, like, we are going to hell. Like, when I was like, I am going to burn.
It must have been a great kiss.
Oh, it was so good. I was 12. I was like, this nigga, how you know how to do this? But yeah, religion. So to me, that's a religious mindset, though. Like, I don't move in fear now. I'm not like, I can't drink because I'm going to go to hell. I can't. I have a relationship. When guys speak to me, that's when I'm a move. And there are certain things that are just clear for you not to do. But we're human. You can't do everything at once. Slow and steady. When God says, hey, you need to stop doing it, cool. I could lay that down. Certain things you got to be delivered from. It's going to take some time, like my mouth. I'm still working on my cussing. And certain things God will convict you of quick. He convicted me of being sober quick. It doesn't tempt me. He took the taste out of my mouth. But I can't say that for sex, but I haven't been tempted with it yet. So I don't know.
One of my favorite jokes.
So what are you about to say?
This woman said, which was so... You know, clarifying for me, because I went to a Catholic school, and obviously not only did I go to Catholic school, I went to a Catholic school where the church was on the school property.
So
we used to have to go to that church very frequently.
Okay.
And it wasn't just like a rinky-dink school church.
Okay.
It was like the hottest church in town.
Okay.
So there were so many messages about problems with masturbation, you know, separating yourself from your body in order to get closer to God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so this comedian said, she was like, you know what? I realized something about God. God is so intelligent. God's mm-hmm. design is perfect. And so God made our bodies in such a way
yeah.
to
yeah.
do his will.
100%.
And so if God didn't want you to masturbate, then your coochie would be in the middle of your back where you can't reach and itch it. But instead, it's in the most convenient place possible.
Who said that? That's funny.
I don't know who said it. I should get that comedian's
joke. I'm going to chat GPT it. Yeah. I'm like, that's hilarious.
Right.
Yeah,
and it's true because I feel like, yeah, when I started masturbating, I don't think I stumbled upon it. It wasn't like, you know, well, I watched a video. Yeah. I stumbled upon it. And then after that, my hand just always conveniently was in that area. So I'm very fascinated by your experience where it just never occurred to you.
It never occurred to me. It wasn't something I battled with or something I even thought about or was like.
You know the position, like, though.
Oh, yeah. I know you that.
Those fingers went right. Muscle memory.
Yeah. It wasn't something I struggled with, though. No, not masturbation. But, girl, I was outside having sex, though. I was in them streets. I think anytime I was horny, I had sex. Like, I was talking to guys that I liked. Mm. I was, you know, dating people. I was sexually active, but I wasn't curious about my body. I didn't know my body. It was just so taboo. Like, and I'm talking to friends and girls that they don't know either. I'm like, y'all don't know. We don't know. We figuring it out. It wasn't talked about in my household, which I think is horrible. I think it's like, this is a prime example. I talked about this on my pod. I was like, my grandmother's like, when are you going to get married? You dating anybody? I'm like, we talking about my husband, but we never talked about sex and periods.
Yeah.
So you just expect women to grow up and jump to being a wife and being a mother and having sex with their husband, but we don't talk about it in the household. So it was very much like I was learning about my body and having sexual experiences. It started outside of my house. And I don't think that's healthy for women either. Mm-hmm. I think there should be a safe space in the home to talk about these things, no matter what you believe, mm-hmm. you know? So just more education, like what you're doing on this platform, I think is beautiful. Oh, it's just educating people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exactly for the reason that you just said. And it's interesting because I've had so many conversations with people of late, especially about late blooming. Right. And to a parent, especially a religious parent, a late bloomer is a success story. Like, oh, they didn't masturbate till they were 33. Yeah. They didn't have pleasure. Yeah. And we spoke to someone yesterday, actually, in her 50s, who was like, that was one of the greatest disservices I did to myself.
Wow.
She's like, I just didn't know myself. Wow. I didn't know your how body? To talk about my body. And she's like, and if you don't think that it doesn't trickle over into other parts of your life, where you don't have, if you don't have enough confidence over what you own, right? The things that you don't have ownership over, how are you supposed to make claim over that or set boundaries on that? You can't even set boundaries
on your body.
On
yourself.
Your body, yeah.
Yeah. I think your platform is so beautiful because it educates people on sex. I still be on ChatGPT asking, I just got the Flow app. I'm like, so this what is what happens when you ovulate? Why am I 35 and don't know that?
Yeah.
My body, you know what I mean? So I think your platform and what you're doing is just so beautiful, women across the board, spirituality or not. That is my beliefs, and I do stand by my Christian beliefs. But for anybody, you should know your body, and you should know that is sacred, and it's your temple. It's 99% of things we got to do with our body. If you sick, a sick man only wants one thing. A healthy man wants everything. When you're sick, I just want to be healthy. Mm-hmm. So that comes with sexual too. Your mental, your spiritual, your physical. When you're having sex with somebody, we already know a lot of things change in your body. Mm-hmm. So that's where I went from having casual sex, having sex with people I liked, having sex with people I was attracted to, okay, sex is going to be intentional. So I'm not to the point where we're here. I didn't go from here to here. Like, I'm not having sex till I'm married. I'm now in the season where sex is intentional. Like, I'm not just having casual sex with people, but once again, I don't even have any options.
Well, 2 years is a long time.
It's a long time.
You've definitely had options. You definitely had experiences. I listened to your Madam Joyce podcast. You've been tempted. So you've been in scenarios.
Oh, you're right.
Yes.
Wow. So, I was tempted that one time with my ex. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So you did make the decision.
I did.
What about the casual sex? Because I hear that you didn't want to have it anymore. But what about it that you realized just did not align with you?
I truly believe the spiritual aspect of it, carrying whatever that person is. I don't want to carry anybody's baggage. And I've done it in friendships. And I'm not even having sex with my friends. I've done it with my soulmates, my friends at the time, my business partners carrying their stuff. And I'm not having sex with you. Once you have that spiritual connection, you know the science behind it, the endorphins that go off when you have your orgasm and all the things that are connecting me to this person. I don't want to be connected to another man that is not my husband. I just don't want to do that. I don't want to give him my body. I don't want to give him something that's sacred to me. I don't want to give him my temple. You can't have my body. You have to respect me outside of every aspect other than penetration. I don't want to have that be a casual thing because it's not casual to me. Sex is serious to me. And because of my beliefs, I believe it's spiritual. And I believe God ordained it for you to do it with your purpose mate for your husband. I truly believe that.
If this is sex, like what's here right before it?
Kissing.
So kissing is fine.
Yeah. No oral.
No oral.
No oral. Kissing is fine.
Hand jobs.
It's so hard for me to answer that because I truly don't know. The woman I am today is so different than the person I was 3 years ago when I was sexually active. And I think the conversations would be different. The conviction would be different. And because of my relationship with Christ, I would hear differently. Mm-hmm. I think he would lead me and guide me through that. I think I see more with spiritual eyes. I would have more discernment. That's not your husband. I'm not wasting time there. That's possibly your husband. Let me pray on that. What is God telling you? I think it would be more awareness and more better decisions, better decision making. So we were talking about my ex, but I knew. I'm like, this ain't my husband.
Yeah.
It just was comfortable. I was in a vulnerable place. I had just gone through a hard time. I pulled up. We still have a relationship but I'm like, he is such a part of my past. I could never see myself being with that man. He can't lead me in the way I want to be led as the woman I am today. And I knew, like, I shouldn't have been at his house at 4 a.m. spooning.
Yeah.
So I don't even think I made that decision from a spiritual. I think, actually, let me take that back. There was a little bit of conviction there, but the conviction was, why are you over here?
Right.
You're not about to be with this man. Like, what is the intent? And I think that's it, too. All the intention behind every decision I'm making in my life right now. The intention. There has to be an intent. It's no more willy-nilly just doing things because I like the way it feels. I'm not going to let my flesh run me anymore because it's done ran me into some trouble. I done been in a STD clinic. I never had one, glory be to God. But hey, I done had enough partners to where I could be sick right now. I done made some horrible sexual decisions. I've had an abortion, you know, so I think God's love is just, for me, it's protection, and it helps you see through a lens of making better decisions. One of my best friends, she waited till marriage to have sex, and unfortunately ended up getting a divorce. And after, she's like, okay, I waited till I was a virgin. Now it's the opposite. It's like flipped, you know? But she did go through a season where she was intimate with somebody else and this, and now she back to like, okay, I see why. God was protecting me from a lot, emotional and attachment and this, and she back on the other side of it. Like, I need to sit down, you know? And I'm like, girl, I did that from age, I was a late bloomer. I lost my virginity at 19, from age 19 to 33. Baby, I made a list one day. I said, y'all gotta get up off me. These niggas gotta go. Cause I don't know who I was sleeping with, but all these spirits gots to go. I made a list. I ain't gonna tell you how many names was on there. I had to flip the page. I said, I don't even know that nigga real name. I wrote his Instagram. And I said, you know, I made my list, but I said, I've been through that already, you know? So I think it's just making conscious decisions. And even I'm not just talking to Christians. I don't want to make this a Christian thing. Anybody out there, whether you're atheist, whatever you believe, take religion out of it. What do you think about people having sex just dilly-willy? Like with whoever, like giving their body to, hey, I just want to have sex with him tonight. I'm gonna have sex with him tonight. As long as they're doing it safe, you think that's okay?
This episode is sponsored by Aria, your intimacy concierge, because who says that long-term relationships have to become predictable? Aria is a service for couples that makes it possible for them to continue to reimagine their relationship, become great lovers, more romantic, and maybe even kinkier. You'll get access to the Aria concierge, who's like your relationship's wingman, a real person who feels out your vibes, serves up spicy monthly experiences to the two of you. Plus, they handpick premium items to deliver discreetly to your door, so you don't have to leave the bed. Not only have I been a longtime Aria member, because yes, even sex experts need help going from been there, done that to whoa, Let's try that again. I'm also their chief intimacy officer, and I'm so proud to announce that my first curated scene, Undercover, is now available. Have you ever fantasized about recapturing the spark of the first time you met your partner? Or maybe you want to make it hotter than history. Undercover lets you go there. So go over to aria.fyi/Shan right now to take a free quiz to find out your erotic persona. Then get ready to connect and play.
I'm more inspired by that story, by the person who has multiple sexual partners, mm-hmm. knows their body inside and out,
okay.
knows what position feels good based on what stage they are okay. in their menstruation cycle, knows how to ask for it, knows what makes them get off, can create a safe environment for somebody else, explores their humanity okay. through the delight of touch, and does it with different people every night. I'm more inspired by that story than of the person who's in a long-term marriage who's having duty sex, who doesn't know their body,
feels
very
that.
Disconnected from
that.
Themselves, and still feels a sense of deep shame and guilt because even though that they're married now, they still know and have known for their entire life that this is not what God wanted for them and for their body. So, but it's not that it has to be either extreme.
But duality.
Right. But I just mean when I think about-
I don't want that life either.
No.
You know what I mean? Right. I definitely don't want that. Now, I go back to treats right now. I'm just kidding. No. But I definitely don't want that. I want an amazing sex life.
Yeah.
I do. I want that. I desire that. I'm a sexual person. Like,
and I think that God would want that.
He does.
Which is why I go back to that first thing I said of like, I don't think that God cares. Because a lot of the biblical rules have to do with how to live a good life. Mm-hmm. And setting you up to live a good and healthy life during 35 BCE. So before there was medical health care, before there was birth control, I can't think of a better rule than don't have sex, period.
Yeah.
Especially not before marriage. I can't think of a better rule than that.
Yeah.
Especially given the fact that children didn't have protection from older people violating them. So that rule must have saved so many lives and saved so much trauma. But in 2025, with all the modern advancements that we have, all the knowledge that we have, I just can't see how that rule still is beneficiary.
Okay. I respect that. I respect your opinion on that.
But why is it wrong?
I can only say, I don't even want to say it's wrong. It's your belief. We just have two different belief systems.
Well, you know God. Ask him really quick. Just be like.
Tell him to tell you right. Guys, don't embarrass me, Jesus. Tell me to tell this girl. He gonna tell me in the car on the way home. But I just think it's a protection. And I am not a pastor. I didn't study the Bible. I don't know Greek. I don't know Hebrew. I just know my experience. And my experience with every single person that I have had sex with, it felt good. It did all the things. But spiritually, it was... If I wouldn't have had sex with so many of those men, there would have been less tears, less heartbreak, less delusion, mm-hmm. less... I feel like it's a protection, and it's supposed to be between a husband and a wife. I just believe that.
But is that more about partner selection than it is about partner experience? Because, you know, I really empathize too. There was a time in my life where I woke up every day reciting my list in my brain.
It
was
what?
How many people I had sex with.
Really?
It would just be every day I would think about it. It would just be so heavy on my heart, on my mind. It would become a constant obsession.
Why?
I would see, because I was told it mattered. Right? Like, if your kid believes there's a monster in the closet and they can't walk on the floor if there's no light on, they're not going to walk on the floor if there's no light on. It doesn't matter if there's no monster in the closet. Your belief system creates your reality because that changes your behavior. So if I believe that God hated me for this or was not going to love me unconditionally or I was unaccepted by God, I'll think about it every day.
But that's not true. I don't believe that.
I, right now in this moment, probably couldn't tell you my number.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think about that often, that like, I'd have to kind of like sit down and rethink about it. But I created the soul ties because I rehearsed it over and over again in my mind. I made it a reality. And once I stopped giving those connections power or meaning, it then became a frivolous detail of my life.
But that's what I was going to go to, was the soul tie aspect of it. So outside of God's going to hate me, God, which I don't believe that. I don't believe. I mean, it is. Look, y'all, I'm not about. I don't know what the words say. I don't know the whole Bible. I don't know that. But I think it's more of a protection. So
yes.
The soul tie aspect of it. Do you not believe that?
But the people who hurt me, I never really had sex with. The people who really hurt me the most, I never engaged with that with. And I think it's funny, too, because like there was a time in my life that I was on Craigslist looking for men to eat me out.
Oh, my God.
I don't remember.
Now, if I say that in my stand-up, don't be like, that's Shan. I'm like, y'all, I gotta tell y'all this story.
I was literally soliciting people. Head on Craigslist.
Did you have to pay for it?
No, that's why I was on there, because I didn't have the money to pay for it. So I was just like, who wants to do this? I can't remember one of those guys' names. They were all white. Can't remember one. Why? That act should carry more shame for me, or have more meaning, or have something more heavier, but it's just because I wasn't conditioned to believe that oral sex came with that. I never assigned it that meaning. So that's just where I just kind of buck up against the idea of soul ties. I'm like, I believe you that it exists, because if you think it exists, it absolutely does.
I believe I will carry what you're carrying. I believe there will be a soul tie. I believe there will be an exchange of energies. And when you lay down with that person, I do believe in soul ties. I believe that.
You can make out with them. No tie.
Right.
No tie.
You can put your tongue in me. You can't put your fang in me.
There we go. But it's fair to have those and to know yourself in that way.
Yeah.
Can I ask about your sex drive? I'm so fascinated by you.
Yeah.
So please excuse all the prying questions.
Sure.
Because it sounds like you were really sexually active and hungry for sex, mm-hmm. but not hungry for sexual release.
Because that's true. I don't think about it unless there's somebody I'm attracted to or that I like.
But even when you were with those people and you liked them, sexual release, which is an orgasm,
yes.
was not a requirement of the exchange.
I think I was hungry for the intimacy. I was hungry for the connection. I was hungry for the just the body to body. I still felt so intimate and connected to those people that I liked, that I was having sex with, that I wanted to be with. And outside of that, I was hungry for the love. I feel like back then I didn't have a lot of self-love, and I'm still working on that today. Just the yearning to be seen, see me. I'm good enough. Okay, if I give you my body, I'll be your girlfriend. If I give you my body, you'll love me. You won't talk to her. If I give you my body, oh, it's not true.
Yes.
You know, so it goes back to what you said, the point you made that I agree with, knowing this, loving this outside of sex. Do you love the way you look? Do you love the way you feel? Do you love who you are? Do you love yourself to your core? Do you love what you believe in? Do you all the aspects of loving yourself? Do you love who you are? You want everybody else to love you. You don't even like you. Mm-hmm. You don't even want to sit with yourself. Why you want me to sit with you? I can't stand you. You know, you can't stand you. You know, when you're by yourself in the dark, you yearning to be around people because you can't sit with yourself in a room. So I think I was yearning for much more than intimacy. I was yearning for acceptance. And I realized that unpacking so many layers of my life through therapy and maturing and my relationship with God now, but just the self-love aspect of it. So yes, cuddling was good enough for me. When you're holding me, I feel like you're in this moment with me, you love me, you care about me. Yes, the sex was good enough for me because, hey, you're having sex with me. If you're with me, you're not with her because mm-hmm. you're with me. Or, you know, all these things where I just had to find and love myself, you know, and I think that's the path I'm on now, really unpacking that and the confidence, like my confidence. Can I just look at my phone real quick?
Yes.
Because my assistant said something to me that it just, oh my God, I've been thinking about it for 2 freaking days. But she said, how you move doesn't translate to how you see yourself. And it's almost like, I move with this confidence. I move with this light. I move with this joy. I move with this. I feel like I do love myself, but I'm still seeking a little higher level of self-love. And I know myself and all these things, but there's still that voice in my head, whether it's the comments, whether it's the ex-friendship, whether it's the ex, you weren't a good friend, or you're not good enough, or you're not this, or you're not, that still is in my head and makes me, dang, maybe I don't see myself the way I show up. Mm-hmm. She's like, you show up such light.
Yes.
You are light. You are beautiful. You are pure. She went down this list of all these things that I am. And I'm like, dang, I do show up like that. But do I always 100% believe it? So I'm working on the showing up and the belief connecting. So I hope that answered your question. I don't know where I went with that.
No, that was beautiful.
Okay.
That was so beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thank
and
you.
I completely agree with what your assistant said. We had Lena Waith on the podcast couple of weeks back, and she said the line, cuddling is more powerful than coming.
Wow.
Which I feel like you would co-sign.
Probably. That's me all day.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm just curious because even as you're talking right now, right, you don't masturbate right now.
I don't.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard.
No. Not hard. It's right. Not hard.
See?
But when you're talking about the love that you're looking for,
yes,
it's like,
yes,
come on,
yes,
my piece of mine, baby. Like, it's that, but it's like that emphatic desire, that longing, that craving, that drive. So is it that you just don't have a high sex drive, but you have a high love drive?
That might be it, because I feel like I have a high sex drive when I'm in love with somebody, or when I like somebody, or when I'm connected to that person. So maybe, because it, like I said, it hasn't been like I'm every day, Lord, please help me not have sex. I'm not like tempted and struggling with not having sex. I could honestly go another couple years.
Yeah.
I could. I'm just like, I'm so focused on other aspects of my life and other things, and this season of solitude that is just like pruning me and purging me, and just is such a beautiful season for me. I just love it. I've been such at peace and so happy with unpacking the layers of who I am, the things I do want to change about myself, the things that I'm like, oh, okay, there's something there. Like, that might be a little self-doubt, that may be a little jealousy, that might be a little envy, that little things that are just human that I'm like, I don't want to carry that. I don't want to feel anger. I don't want that unforgiveness, things that God is plucking and pruning me. But I think that I could go a long time without sex. I do want the companionship. I want the partnership. I want the love, and I want the ultimately intimacy. And
are you a demisexual?
What is that?
Oh, well, I hope that this is helpful for you.
Tell me.
In life, there's primary sexual attraction and there's secondary. So primary sexual attraction is like you see somebody and you're like, you feel the throb.
What?
You feel the urge. You feel the need.
Okay.
And then secondary sexual attraction is when you have an emotional, intimate connection with somebody. There's okay. a deep bond with that person. And most people go through this life and they have primary first. They see someone they're attracted to. They feel the urge, the bulge. And then eventually secondary comes into play after they've satisfied the primary. Demisexuals never feel primary sexual attraction until there's secondary sexual attraction. So until wow. that there's an emotional bond, till that there is that.
No, that's not me. No.
Because then that would mean that.
Because I could definitely see somebody start lusting.
Yeah.
Like, ooh.
But do you lust for the love or do you lust for the sexual release?
Wow. Like, does my, okay. So how would the lusting for sexual release, like, ooh, I just want to bone him. And then lusting for the love is like, could that be my husband?
Yeah.
It's, could that be my husband? Every time. I'm like, damn, he fine. Is that my husband, Jesus? It's the love. It's the lusting for the love. That's what it is. Wow.
Wow.
Oh, thank you for this breakthrough. That's crazy. I never thought about this.
That's so fascinating to actually, you know, listen to somebody talk and describe it. Because, yeah, all of your, the math on your stories doesn't add up in a good way. Because I'm trying to make it add up to a traditional story, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. the Christian girl mm-hmm. who was mm-hmm. being worldly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was, yeah.
Who was being yeah. worldly and then, you know, reignited the relationship with God. And then God spoke to them and said, like, this is for husband and wife.
Yeah.
And so I wait for that moment and then yeah. it will be better for you. And they yeah. did that. And then they had all the urges and the desires and it was still there, but their conviction for God allowed them to see it through to that point. They get married, da, da, da. That's like one story. And then the second story is the person who is like so overcome by lust and love and desire and has to sort of reconcile and edit God's narrative to fit with their need, because they're like, well, God wouldn't make me this way
yeah.
unless that this was how I'm supposed to be. I mean, okay. I think a gay person probably go through that same storyline, yeah. but yeah. I don't think yours kind of fit in either bracket.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a little different. And a lot of Christians crucify me for my story and yeah. my walk. And I'm like,
I can see why.
Yeah. I'm like, that's fine. I'm walking with God step by step. I'm not trying to be, I'm never going to reach a level. No one's ever going to reach a level of perfection. Whether you believe right or wrong or indifferent, this is the truth. And I think that's what a lot of the Christian religious community is missing, is truth with who people are. And that's why so many people are hurt by the church, because you hear one thing and you see another thing. That's why I can never be in a pulpit. I'll be up there like, all y'all niggas, I had a drink. But guess what? God is working on me. I can't get up there on a platform and on a mic and lie about who I am and where I am in my journey. So a lot of Christians stone me every day, but that's okay. My story isn't for them. It's for the girl that sees herself in me, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm speaking to her. Baby, you don't have to be perfect to come to God. You don't get in the shower clean. You take a shower because you're dirty. You don't come to God because you're perfect. You come to him because you need him to clean up your heart, and he will as soon as you let him in. Everybody in the Bible was broken.
There was murderers, killers, hoes, adulterers. God still used them. He used them all. I want to share this one thing. I know we got to go. Do I have time to share it real
quick? Of course, yeah.
I had a conversation with somebody who is atheist. You know, not atheist, but they believe that God is within and you are God. You are your, all these things that just get away from that. I don't believe that. And I'm looking in her eyes. I'm looking at her conviction. And now I'm a human. My brain starts going. Well, the way she believe, am I? Hold on now. It like, gee, okay, then this, and you're talking about this book and that book and this book. And you know, God's not offended by my questions, but it bothered me that I listened to her enough that I had the, I'm like, hold on, like, oh, let me hear more. You know, and there was, I could say there was a little bit of doubt there. Maybe my faith was wavered. And I'm at the airport talking to my friend Shekinah. 5 minutes later, I could cry right now. This is how good God is. I'm sitting in the airport. I got my purse. It's right in there. And a man walks up to me. He's like, what's in your purse? I was like, there's a lot of things in my purse. And he goes, oh, what's that pink thing? And I pulled it out and it was my Bible. And he was like, oh, wow, your Bible, that's the word of God. Keep it close to you. But this is 5 minutes after I'm questioning my faith. So I have encounters like that all the time.
I'm so happy for you.
I'm so, so grateful that God loves us so much that when you have these questions and you seek him and you ask for him, he shows you. So those are the encounters I have. And I said that to say before we close out, seek him for yourself. Not a B. Simone experience, not a Shan experience. You go on your own journey and God will show you how much he loves you and exactly who he is.
There is Sierra's prayer. What is B. Simone's prayer?
My prayer is that God sends somebody that is my purpose mate and we can come together for the kingdom and for his glory and to help people. Our purpose separately aligns with our purpose together, and it's in his will. If it's in his will, I will be married and I will have children. And this desire in my heart, so I believe it'll happen. I believe I will bear babies and be a mommy and a wife like you. And that's my prayer, just that he prepares me for that. Because I pray for my husband, girl. I be weeping for my husband like I know him. And I don't even know him. I pray for him. I intercede for him. I cover him. So whoever he is, he's going to be covered. So that's my prayer.
Well, that's worth waiting for.
That's worth waiting for. Thank you, baby. You're so cool. I love your platform.
Thank you for having me.
I wanted to say thank you for having me. Like, it was your show now. I really felt that way. Thank you, B, who is just as delightful as she is insightful. Listen to her podcast, Let's Try This Again, with new episodes releasing each and every week. And go to www.officialbsimone.com to find out where her tour, Still Standing, is heading to next. And speaking of next, let's close things out with a reflective wrap-up discussion about my chat with B. Simone with the Lovers community.
I feel like this topic brings up so many feelings for people, and I have no doubt that this brought up a lot of feelings for people. So as my people, I can't wait to hear what your thoughts are.
I agree with you, Shan. I think God doesn't care. And I'm saying this as someone who, like I shared in the chat, reads the Bible every day, attends church virtually. When you look at the New Testament, you see Jesus kind of going back and forth with the Pharisees a lot. And the Pharisees were the group of people who were known to be like law-abiding religious figures. Like, they knew all the commandments, they followed them to the T, and they hated Jesus because he was like constantly breaking the rules. You have to recognize that it's not about the rules. It's more about the way you care for people, the posture of your heart and your intent.
I believe that sex is meant to be intentional, whatever is out there, because sex is the portal to life. So it has to be meant to be intentional. And my understanding of soul ties, I don't know if this is correct, is that like you're ingesting somebody's soul. Are they also ingesting mine? And also, am I left with their soul for the rest of time in that version of themselves? Or do I heal as they heal?
I think you're asking very critical and great questions, but I think my understanding from a religious perspective is that every person you have sex with is a soul that you have allowed to enter your body. So in other words, it would be like a body count in a way. So each person that you engage with is basically marking you as their partner is how I've always understood it. Perhaps that's me looking through it as like a lens that I do not agree with. And I think that was something that really made an impression on me during B. Simone's discussion, because she just learned that she loved contact and she loved being with people, but she didn't really learn what that meaning was for her until she took a step back and assessed it. And I think that for me is a detriment of the concept of soul ties, because you're not encouraging people to investigate.
I think I'm a little bit different from what has been shared so far in that I do believe in soul ties. I just believe that it is widely misunderstood. You absolutely can be deeply connected to people that you've never slept with. I guess the other thing I would add that makes this a little bit more complicated is I do believe that empaths are real. I'm like deeply physically affected by the people around me. So I have to be very protective over that. But I would say that's a little bit different than a soul tie, at least for me.
That actually connects for me, because maybe you have to be an empath in order to have that connection. Because I was actually sitting in bed last night in preparation for this conversation, trying to think of all the people I've had sex with, like trying to list them off by name. And then I got to the number that it is, which for me is 11. It's like 11 or 12. I can't really like fully remember. And I, for the life of me, could not remember this 11th person. And I was like, wouldn't it be crazy if I can't even conjure this person's name up and somehow they're in my soul and my system influencing my daily actions and judging whether or not I go to heaven? Like, that would be, that concept to me just seems unfair.
Well, and you said something, Chan, about just like not giving, like giving it power, right?
In fairness, he's probably like number 9, somewhere in there. You know, you remember the last. And he was the son of a pastor. So maybe I should take on that soul tie, because there might be some residual positive benefits with that one.
PKs are just a different breed.
Okay, back to our question. For those of you who are coming from a belief system or who are currently in one right now, how did you merge God and sex together?
I think a lot of that has come with not viewing God as this punishing father. And I recognize that I am not just following the path that God has laid for me. We are creating this life together, and I have a say so.
I had lots of shame with sex growing up. Like, literally the first time I had sex, I told my best friend, and she wrote me a big long letter on how she was so disappointed in me. And it fucked me up, like, for so long. I'm like, all these people suck. Like, you guys are, like, terrible people. So how could God be happier with you than they are with me just because I'm having sex? And I found my way back to God because I totally made it my own. That shame has just gone away.
I think that's why I liked parts of, like, or the conversation with B. Simone. She was honest, being like, this is something that has been taught to me that I failed, and I know I failed, but I'm reclaiming this failure and also trying to figure out my way at the same time. Just hearing your story sometimes adds context to where your mind is going. And maybe that is the middle ground that we need from people. Just give us the context, give us your struggle, give us the story. And we might not agree, but we'll understand a little bit more.
I can't even tell you guys how grateful I am to have this amazing group to debrief with. So thank you so much for coming forward and having this conversation with me. I know it's scary to do publicly. And in respect to that, we're going to end the public segment right now. And we're going to stop the recording so we can chat a little bit more intimately about this. And for anybody who's interested in joining conversations like these, go to loversbyshan.com/community. And if not, I'll just talk to you guys next week right here in the podcast.
Can I say one last thing? I know this is weird, but it's just because probably just how connected I feel to this community. So I had a dream. It was a wedding. I don't know who she was marrying. I don't know who she was marrying. We were like, how do you know? And it's like, oh, we just met in this online community. Foreshadowing the future.
Amanda, you needed to say that because you know why? That was God.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.